Try 4 weeks of The Spectator absolutely free. And, for this month only, you'll receive a Spectator wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bowles and James Forsyth. So we're in the new phase of the British lockdown, but it doesn't seem like the message has landed all that clearly. The last 24 hours have been a bit of a confusing muddle. Katie, what has happened?
So we had a media round this morning with Dominic Raab, and I think it's fair to say that he is one of the trusted media performers of this cabinet. He's seen to be very good to stick to the party line. So I think it's probably testament as to how complicated this stage is that he at points seemed to be suggesting things which were different to what was being briefed by figures in government ahead of the announcement and what Boris Johnson has said in his speech. So one example was on the Today programme, Dominic Raab appeared to suggest that a rule change which we had thought meant that one person could meet with one person from a different household in a one-on-one meeting if they kept 2 metres apart, could actually be two people potentially, the suggestion being you can meet both your parents, not just one of them at any one time. But then there was quickly a clarification after that interview, where I think the point being was that Raab had potentially misunderstood the phrasing of that question. As you can imagine, lots of people were very quick to jump on that because they thought, oh great, I'm going to get to see both my parents at once. So I think there's been a few things like that today, and I think you can say the way that the government has phased this in terms of the build-up, you know, up to the statement on Sunday, but then not all the specific details in terms of the documents that have been published today, some documents still to be published tomorrow, it's meant that there have been points when the message hasn't been as clear as it could be. But I also think the complexity of this stage and the fact that you have a stay alert slogan in the first place is just because there is no clear and simple way of instructing lots of different groups of people to do different things at different times. But it has not been smooth sailing today. And this afternoon, we then heard from Boris Johnson speaking shortly after the document was published on the various things we can expect potentially in the coming weeks and months, depending what happens with the R number. And I think Boris Johnson did outline most of those things ultimately on Sunday night, but we have more specifics going forward. For example, there is a clear declaration in this document of something James reported previously in The Spectator, which is the fact that in order to get through coronavirus or even learn to live with it, the Prime Minister wants us to be self-sufficient in terms of PPE, and there's going to be a drive to do that. And I also thought what was interesting from these documents is the sense that it is all about social distancing, but it also does concede in those documents that there is a chance this vaccine, which is when we're told we ultimately need to stage one in terms of the branding of how dangerous the threat of coronavirus is and how much you can return to normal life, ultimately that vaccine might not come to be and we might just have to learn to live with it. So no even medium to long-term route back to full normality under this scheme.
And James, one of the other confusions over the course of today was whether or not was when people were meant to start going to work if they couldn't work from home. Now, last night, the Prime Minister didn't say when, and people assumed that it was Monday, but today it's been clarified that that's from Wednesday onwards.
Well, I think the whole confusion is that this is a change of emphasis when it comes to people going to work rather than a change of the advice, which is when the government initially introduced this advice, it assumed that people who couldn't work from home but could work from home and observe social distancing in their workplace would continue to go to work. Instead, what happened was that in the vast majority of workplaces simply closed, you know, construction, manufacturing. And during the last 7 weeks, you know, I think more and more of those places have slowly and gradually began to open back up. And I think that's what slightly caused the confusion in the address, that some people felt that at kind of 7 p.m. on Sunday night, Boris Johnson was telling them to go to work the next morning, when actually it is inherently more of a gradual process. And I think this is one of the challenges for the government is twofold. Is A, as Katie said, this is an inherently messy phase of the process because you can't move straight from stay at home to go to work because you're not telling everyone to go to work. You're only telling some people to go to work. And so there isn't one simple, clear, unifying national message. And then I think the second problem is the government is now going to have to deal with people's concerns about going back to work. I always think that one of the most telling numbers in this situation is that 20% of children are entitled to be in school if their parents want them to be, yet only 2% of children are in school. And I think one of the real big problems, one of the big challenges to the government over the next few weeks and months is that lots of people are really worried about going back out there because of coronavirus. So how do you coax and persuade people to go back to work? And I think it's quite an interesting example of how the government's approach is that they've said today that people who won't send their children back to school because of their worries about coronavirus, even once schools have reopened, won't be fined for their children being truant, for example.
And James, hindsight is obviously a good thing. And as you say, this is an incredibly complex part of the lockdown. But at the same time, this has led to a lot of questions about why the government's documents weren't released at the same time as or before Boris Johnson's statement. Is there any particular reason that the government has done its comms campaign in the order that it has?
Well, I think one of the reasons they wanted to do Sunday night was because they thought that was the way they would get the largest television audience. I also think one of the advantages of, from their perspective of doing Sunday night, was that Boris Johnson got to speak to the country, and then there were no questions in the House. There was no moment when he could get kind of criticised over this or that. It was just a straight, direct, simple message. The problem is, because this is an inherently messy phase, as soon as Boris Johnson has spoken, people wanted answers to questions. And I think one particular problem with the speech was the question that lots of people have is, when can I see my family? But those members of my family that I don't live with, my parents, my siblings. So people wanted to know the answer to that. And the speech didn't really address that. It was much more about work than about people's families and who they could see when and where. And so I think that was inevitably going to lead to a kind of whole slew of questions. And the government wasn't entirely in the best place to answer them this morning. You know, I think actually when you read the government document, which has come out now, it does all become a bit clearer. But I think there are obviously going to be complications in this phase. And I think there's also a kind of challenge, which is people will wonder why you can only one person from one household can see somebody else in the open air, when the previous assumption had always been that if someone in a household got it, pretty much everyone else in the household was bound to get it, which is why, you know, whole households had to isolate for 14 days at a time.
And Katie, later this evening, we'll be expecting a statement from Keir Starmer. What is he expected to say?
So this is an interesting move by Keir Starmer and his team. What they've done is, in response to the Prime Minister's address yesterday, they have made a around a 5-minute clip, which is airing on BBC Radio and then also BBC One, I think, later this evening, which is his response to what Boris Johnson has said. I think in it, we are expecting him to say that ultimately we need clearer directions to criticise to a degree the lack of clarity on the government's plan in the sense that it left many questions rather than just provided answers, or it led to many questions. So I think that's the approach he's taking, which is to say, yes, I pressured you to put out a roadmap, but in a way, when you are putting out the roadmap, it needs to be more thorough. We know Keir Starmer is someone who is very comfortable with details. That's why some Tories are worried about him becoming Labour leader, because Boris Johnson is not traditionally seen as that. But I think with regards to this clip, lots of people don't watch PMQs, shockingly, but they do watch BBC One at 6:55 p.m. So I think this is quite actually an important moment for Keir Starmer, just in the sense, not so much what does he do to Boris Johnson, but what impression does he make for some people who will be seeing him really for the first time, who don't pay loads of attention to politics?
I think it's quite a cleverly crafted address, in that he is continuing to emphasise how he wants to be constructive with the government, work with the government, and that he still supports the lockdown, which all the polls show the public still overwhelmingly back. But then at the end, there's quite a clever attempt to kind of shift to the kind of post-coronavirus society he wants to see, you know, saying you can't clap for carers once a week when half of people working in care homes are paid less than the living wage. So I think this is quite a politically canny introduction of himself to the British voter by Keir Starmer.
And James, Keir Starmer is also, one of his leading charges against the government has been that there's a sort of class divide between who goes back first and who's, what he says, being put in risk first, i.e. the blue-collar workers who can't work from home. How damaging do you think that charge is against this government?
I think it all depends on what happens, you know, whether these workplaces are able to properly enforce social distancing, whether you see a second, obviously if you see a huge number of people who go back to work contacting the virus, that will cause all sorts of problems for the government, not just in terms of a second spike, but as you say, this particular angle too. And I think that what you see with Keir Starmer is he is now working kind of very closely with the unions to kind of basically argue that, look, yes, the Tories might have won a bunch of seats in old manufacturing heartlands at the last election, but look at them, they're now using these people as guinea pigs kind of thing. Although that's not Keir Starmer's language, but that's the kind of clear point of a kind of attack he's trying to make. There will obviously be people who are concerned about going back to work for understandable reasons. But I think there'll also be a large number of people who realise that for their employer to still be there at the end of this crisis, they need to get production going again.
And I think what's interesting in the sense of we're getting a sense of how Keir Starmer is going to criticise the government going forward, particularly on the easing, working with the unions. But we also saw today in his response to Boris Johnson's statement to the House, where he pointed to the fact that, you know, the government statement at 12:01 said this, but then you said this. And I think it is just going back to this details man thing, where it's almost like, I think there was a bit of a running joke that every time someone says anything about Keir Starmer, they point out he is a lawyer, so therefore he is good at detail. But there is this sense that he is, you know, mounting this case, getting his evidence and trying to point out as he goes where there has been slack on the other side. And I do get the sense that having Keir Starmer as Labour leader is making things more difficult for the Boris Johnson-led Conservative Party than when it was Jeremy Corbyn.
James and Katie, thanks very much. And you can subscribe to this podcast through all the usual routes. And remember, if you need a phone charger for that upcoming NHS app, then you can get one at spectator.co.uk/charger. And you can also get a free trial to The Spectator. So thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Coffee House Shots. I'm Kate Andrews, and I curate The Spectator's daily lunchtime coronavirus update. For the latest research, world news, and lockdown updates related to COVID-19, sign up for free at spectator.co.uk/COVID email.